morning. A little cold out there today, isn't it? A little chilly. Look at all these brave souls. I was reading this morning that today is on this news article, it said this was life-threatening weather. Look at all you brave souls. Look at you coming out in life-threatening weather. It's good to see everybody. Cold weather's okay, right? Keep you alive. No? Everybody's like, no. You're right. If it's going to be cold, it might as well be dumping tons of snow on us, right? Exactly. Amen. Hey, we have a really exciting day today because three people are going to be making an essential commitment to the Lord today in baptism. Yeah. And so at the end of the service, these three people are going to be making a commitment before witnesses, before all of you who are witnesses and before God, that they are going to live their lives and they're dedicating their lives to God and that they're going to pursue Him with everything inside of them. And we're going to be actually talking about this morning about the pursuit of God. And we were singing the songs just a few minutes ago, and a song came up that says, the song's called Endlessly, and if you remember the lyrics, it said that you loved me even before I knew you. And Mike was using that passage of scripture in Romans 5:5. It says that God demonstrated His love for us, that while we were His sinners, while we were sinners against God, He died for us. He showed us His love while we were enemies of God. And it's an amazing thing. And so this morning we're going to look at what is it that actually compels believers to pursue God? What is it that actually causes us to want to run hard and follow hard after God? That's kind of what that word pursue means. It means to follow hard after, to try to catch something, to follow hard after it in order to catch it. And I was trying to think of some examples of that we might know of the word pursuit, and one of them would be in like a police officer in pursuit of a suspect, right? What are they doing? They're following hard after that suspect to try to apprehend him. They're following hard after him to try to catch them. In our family, we have this cat. His name is Henry. And this cat, he sits up and he perches up on the windowsill in front of our bay window, and he gets taunted endlessly all day long with the birds and the squirrels. They're right in front of them. They see him that he can't get out the window, and he's just sitting there with his tail wagging. He's like scratching at the window. This poor cat, right? So what happens is that when my children open the door sometimes and they leave it wide open, you know, the cat just shoots out as fast as possible. He's in pursuit of these squirrels and these birds that have been taunting him for such a long time. So naturally, I have to go and pursue the cat, right? So that I don't have four people in my house crying and bawling their eyes out that this cat is missing. So I'm in dead pursuit after this cat. Boom, there I go out the door. And sometimes it takes, I'm not joking, it takes 35 to 45 minutes to catch this cat, right? Because he'll go around there and what I found is that my character, my persona changes while I'm in pursuit sometimes. And it gets difficult and I get frustrated, right? Because he'll just, we have a fenced in yard and sometimes he'll just stop under a bush and wait till I get my old body up. Come on, cat, you know? And then he'll just take off and run. And so at first I'm like, at first, when I'm starting to pursue this cat, it's all good and joyful. It's like, oh, you know what? I love my family. I love my kids. I want them to have their cat back, right? But after 20 minutes and after 45 minutes, just like, get this dumb cat in the house right now, right? My persona changes. I get a little bit frustrated, you know. I get a little bit upset, you know, that this is taking valuable time, kind of thing. But this is what pursuit is. It's a relentless pursuit to catch something. Today's Valentine's Day, and I'm sure all of you men in here are still pursuing your wives. If not, let me encourage you to do so. We need to be reminded to constantly be pursuing our wives. And it does. It takes effort, doesn't it? It takes energy. It takes all of our resources to pursue something. It takes motivation, exactly. And so my wife, you know, when I was pursuing my wife, I was trying to catch her so that I could have her, right? I was trying to catch her so she wouldn't go off to find some other guy. You know, when you find that right girl, you pursue her. And so you extend energy, you extend money and resources, you know what I'm saying, to pursue this woman into your arms, right? And so that's what it is. Pursuit is to follow hard after something. Some of you may have pursued a career. When you got out of college or when you got out of high school, you pursue a career where you're shooting for something, whether a doctor, lawyer, teacher, whatever it is, you know, a businessman, an entrepreneur, there is a pursuit that happens where you are going hard after something. You're pursuing this career so that you can catch it and live off of this career. And so what we find in a pursuit is these things that it takes intentionality, right? If you are to pursue something, if you're going hard after something, you have to be intentional about it. There has to be a determination to follow hard after something. And it requires sacrifice to follow hard after something. And so what we're going to do over the next 2 weeks is we're going to talk about pursuing God. And today's message is called Follow Hard After Him. Follow hard after Him. And so we're just going to, for this first week, for today, we're just going to start it and then we're going to finish it up for next week. But when you are pursuing something, you're following hard after it. And so the question is, okay, what motivation do we have to pursue God then? What motivation? What is it that causes us to follow hard after Him in every area of our life? And we see this in Jesus, right? With the motivation and what causes us to follow hard is we found in Jesus, the sacrifice of Jesus. You see, there was a beautiful relationship that was reinstated because of what Jesus did on that cross. And we talked about it a little bit with Romans 5:5 when Mike was up there. He says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, here is this perfect and holy God, and He creates human beings, humanity, and He loves these humans so desperately. He loves them so much. And all He wants to do is to let them know how much He loves them, that there's nothing they could ever do that could separate them from His love. And so here we have this perfect and holy God, and we know that sin came into the world, and when sin came into the world, humanity was separated from God. A perfect and holy God and sinful humanity. Now, sinful humanity, you and I, who are born into sin, are not able to come into the presence of a holy and perfect God. Because He's holy and He's perfect. And so now there's this massive chasm that separates God and His creation. It's this thing called sin. And what Jesus did on the cross and His sacrifice is that He brought reconciliation. A beautiful word in the Bible, reconciliation, which means that He restored the relationship between mankind and God. That for all who believe in Jesus Christ, that relationship between the Creator and creation has been restored. It's been reconciled. And so we see this love poured out, this unrepayable act of love that God pours out to His people. And we saw this love poured out, and what Jesus did is it gives us freedom and the ability to access and go directly to God. So we don't need to go through a priest to get to God. But what Jesus did, because He was the high priest, is that we are now able and free to go directly to God. And we are now free to know Him. Free to get to know Him. And so there then becomes this deep yearning to know and understand, who is this God? Who is this God? Who is this God who loves me the way He does? Who is this God who does not count my sin against me, but gives me a fresh start to life? Who is this God who forgives every wrong thing that I ever have done and that I ever will do? Who is this God? Who is this God that would give me peace when my spirit is unrest? Who is this God who provides me with joy in the face of turmoil? Who is this God who gives me an inheritance of His kingdom? He promises me an inheritance of His kingdom, and then He asks me to partner with Him in His mission to this world. Who is this God, and who am I to deserve this? Who am I that He would love me, that He would care for me, that He would bless me? Who is this God? And when our eyes become open and aware to the love that God has for us, there's a supernatural desire that occurs within. That your soul becomes hungry for God. It's like you sense this urging to have more of God. Something happened inside of you, and there's this urge to know this God, and a lifelong pursuit begins of knowing this God. Who is this God? I've got to know Him. I've got to know this God. I've got to know why He is the way He is. If you have your Bibles and you'd like to turn with me to Psalm chapter 63, it'll also be up on the overhead up there. If you have a Bible on your phone. Psalm 63. Now before I read this, we're going to read verses 1 through 8, but it's important to understand the context of what's going on and why David wrote this. Now imagine David, right? King David. And a lot of your Bibles will have this in at the top part, but it says that David right now is hiding in the wilderness. Okay? His own son has formed a rebellion to kill him. His own son. And is a revolt against him. And so this revolt of people, this rebellion, is in pursuit hard after David to kill him. They're following hard to find him. And so what David is doing is he retreats to the wilderness and he is seeking refuge in the wilderness. And you can imagine how lonely he was, probably was. And we see here he writes this passage, this psalm right now when he's in that scenario. And so take it from that perspective. Here we see David in that moment. And we see here he expresses a longing for God. It says this. He says, "Oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul, it thirsts for you. My flesh, it faints for you in a dry and thirsty land with no water." He says, "I have seen you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise you. And thus I will bless you while I live, and I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul will be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed and meditate on you at night in the night watches, because you have been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice." In verse 8, "My soul clings hard to you." The King James says, "My soul follows hard after you. And your right hand, it upholds me." You see, when you follow hard after God, His promise is that He will sustain you and support you and help you. That word, "my soul," that word for cling there is to follow hard after, to adhere, to catch. And so how is David able to say these words? How is he able to write this down? And why is he so able to be so rejoiceful? There's a revolt pursuing him hard, trying to kill him, trying to take his life. He's hiding from his enemies in the wilderness, and he's lonely, he's longing for a friend. It's no wonder that he cries out to God. He says, oh God, my soul thirsts for you." Why is David able to be so rejoiceful? It's just because he knew that God was the only one to satisfy his deepest longings and yearnings. He knew that God was the only one who could satisfy his deepest longings. He knew that God could satisfy his deepest needs and desires. And he knew this. How? Because he had regular encounters with God. He had regular encounters with God where God revealed himself to David. He says there, "I have seen you in the sanctuary, God. And I've beheld your power and I've beheld your glory. I've seen you at work. Your loving kindness has been expressed to me. And because I've seen your loving kindness at work, I will forever rejoice with my lips." You see, David had regular encounters with God where he sought after God. He pursued God to know him more, to know him more intimately. And you see, our desire to know and to pursue God comes directly from his desire to reveal himself to us. Our desire to know God and our desire to pursue God comes directly from God's desire to reveal himself to you and I. And so how do we respond to that? How do we respond to that? If God is constantly and continuously revealing himself in loving kindness to mankind, how do we respond? When you pursue God, it's a reciprocation of desiring another. It's where you are reciprocating a longing for God just as much as he has a longing to know you. In other words, our desire to know God comes from His self-revelation. And as God reveals Himself, He draws people to Himself. As God reveals Himself, it draws people to Himself. In my study this week, I discovered this beautiful connection between His desire and intentionality to reveal Himself and our desire to know Him in return. There's a beautiful connection, passage after passage after passage, where God reveals Himself, and the result is then that we are drawn to Him. And it's a desire that we have to know Him in return. When you understand the magnitude of what God did, and when you understand the intensity of His love for you, what is the response? And what we see is that we are drawn to Him because of His loving kindness that He reveals. In Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3, the Lord appears to the prophet Jeremiah, and He gives him a message to give to the people of Israel. And He says, I want you to tell this to the people of Israel. And He said, the Lord appeared of old to me, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. That means that there's no beginning and that there is no end to this love. And therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. You see, in 1 John chapter 4, it says that God is love. Right? This is His nature, His character. God is love. And so His desire is to reveal Himself. When He reveals His loving kindness, He's revealing Himself. He's essentially opening Himself up and allowing Himself to be known by you and I. He's allowing Himself, the very nature and the very character of God, the very deepest parts of who He is, He reveals them to humanity and says, here, I'm revealing Myself out there. I'm showing you how much I love you. And we see that in the sacrifice of Jesus. It's something that theologians call prevenient grace, which means that before a man can seek God, God must have first sought the person. Or in other words, God's grace precedes our decision to believe and to love Him. His grace and His love comes before the thought to even go and believe in Him and to follow Him. And so God goes before and He reveals Himself, the very nature and the very character of God, this unfailing love of His, goes before us and He reveals it to mankind. It's so important to know that before time began, God has wanted to make Himself known to you. We live in time, right? We live in time, and God exists outside of time. He exists outside of time. And before He created time, before He created time, we were the subjects of His affection. You were the target of God's love. You were the target of God's love. And I don't want anyone to leave here without knowing that God is so desperately wants to make Himself known to you. He so desperately wants to make Himself known to you that He took the most extreme measures. He gave up everything. Gave up His one and only Son to satisfy that requirement so humanity could now come into the presence of a perfect and holy God. And so because of the righteousness of Jesus, that blood of Jesus that was spilt covers your life. And so God no longer sees you as a sinful human, but He sees you now in the righteousness of your Son. He sees you covered by the perfect blood of Jesus Christ, who took your place on the cross. He took your place on the cross. This is the magnitude of God's love for you. These are the measures that He took so that He could be with you, so that He could have you. He created you to be in relationship with you. He wants nothing more than just to know you and to be fully known by you. And so He reveals Himself. He opens Himself. He reveals Himself to us. And when you and I choose to believe in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we do so in response to the prompting and the urging of God revealing Himself in love. God does the urging. He's the one that does the drawing as He reveals Himself to us in loving kindness. His loving kindness is so amazing. And it is drawing all of humanity to Himself. And then we have the opportunity to respond or not to respond to that. To accept it or to reject it. This is what we have. He's given us the ability to have free will, to make our own choices in life. So we can either accept this loving kindness and constantly follow hard after Him and to pursue Him with everything inside of us to get to know this God as much as He knows us, or we could simply say no. The choice is up to us. And this is what David is saying in this Psalm 63. He says, because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. You see, God, he encountered God time after time after time after time. It was a regular practice for him to go into the presence of God and to encounter God. He had tasted and seen of his goodness, and it kept him coming back for more. And it kept him coming back for more. I say this all the time, but when you encounter God, it's like an addictive drug. When you taste and you see of the goodness of God, and He reveals Himself to you more and more and more and more and more, it's like, man, I gotta have more. I just gotta have more. What else you got, God? And so you pursue Him. You follow hard after Him. You go into His presence and you pray and you converse with Him and you read His Word and you just go hard after Him. And the more you go after Him, the more He reveals Himself to you. And the more it keeps you coming back for more. It's so important to understand that our urge to pursue God originates with God. It begins with Him. It starts with Him. But the response on our part is to follow hard after Him. Our response ought to be a reciprocation of God's drawing of you to Himself. God's desire to be with you and to live with you is so intense. God loves you so intensely. So intensely. And we see how intense it is through the death of His Son. And so our response should reciprocate that intensity. Desperately following hard after Him, longing for the deepest parts of our being to be satisfied by Him. Kind of like the psalmist who wrote Psalm 42. He says, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul, God, longs for You and pants for You. I'm desperate for You. I'm thirsty. My soul thirsts for You, O God. Do you regularly find yourself desperately eager for more of God? So much so that you cry out to Him for more. God, I need You to satisfy the deepest parts of my being. Those parts of my soul that only You can satisfy, God. Those deep yearnings of my soul. God, I cannot go on anymore without encountering You. I need to experience You. I need to encounter You right now. Do you find yourself regularly seeking Him? Seeking His face, following hard after Him, pursuing Him. Where the deepest parts of your being are calling out and they're responding to the depth and the wonder and the mystery of this living God who loves you so much. If you don't, let me encourage you this morning, there is nothing more satisfying. I am living proof, man. I am living proof. That there is nothing more satisfying, there's nothing more fulfilling than having these soul-quenching encounters with God. And I promise you, because God promises in the book of Jeremiah, that if you seek Him with all of your heart and you search for Him with all of your heart, that you will find Him. That is a promise. That is a promise. You see, our souls were created to know Him completely. Our souls were created to know Him completely. We were created to be one with God. The Bible says that we were made in His image, so therefore He created us with the capacity to know Him. Our souls were created to know Him and to be one with Him. Our souls were created to be fully known by Him and for our souls to fully know Him. And when we surrender our lives to Him and we believe that Jesus Christ is our Lord, and that He is the Son of God, at that very moment, the very Spirit of God, at that very moment, God sends His Spirit to take up residence inside of you. And God now identifies you as one of His own, as one of His children, as an adopted child. And forgiveness and mercy and grace are now yours. And no matter what you've ever done, it doesn't matter to God. That is a powerful love. So now when he sends us the Spirit, his Spirit is able to communicate with us, revealing himself in a more personal and intimate way. It is at this point when we begin to understand who God is and what he's all about. Celeste, could you go ahead and grab the kids? We're going to celebrate in just a few minutes, and she's going to get all the kids so they can watch this baptism with us, the celebration. But I just want to continue as she's going to get the kids. We were made to know him. We were made to know him. In Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23 through 24, says this. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, or another word is to boast in his wisdom. Let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might, nor let the rich man boast in his riches. But let him who boasts, boast in this, that he understands and that he knows me. That I am the Lord, exercising what? Loving kindness, judgment and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. And there is that connection again between us knowing him and his revealing of his loving kindness. The demonstration of his loving kindness that draws us to him. For some unfathomable reason, God wants you and I to be his friend. That's the truth. Some unfathomable reason, God wants you and I to be his friend. For some unfathomable reason, he desires to be our friend. And he has given up his son to die for us in order for us to realize it. And I'm so grateful and thankful that he did. It's so important to understand this truth. That God is not an object. He is a subject. It is a truth. And so this truth means that there's a huge difference between knowing about him versus knowing him personally. You see, to know about God as if he were an object is no different than knowing about this phone. I can know all about this phone. I can know how it works. I don't know any smart words about phone stuff, but I can know software. Yeah, there you go. That's a big, yeah. I can know software. I can know the interaction and the interfaces and all that stuff. I can know how the camera works. I can know all that stuff. But it only gets to a certain point. At some point, I'm going to know all about this phone. And so that's the same thing. You see, to know about God is just knowing and being able to clearly, it's about knowing about him is just like knowing Bible and being able to regurgitate scripture or to be able to clearly articulate Christian themes. But that's not the same thing as knowing him on a deep, intimate, personal level. The way he's always desired. He created you to be in relationship with you. He created you to know you as intimately and for you to know him as intimately as he knows you. To know God is not simply knowing truths about him, but it means to be in fellowship with him, to be in communion with him, getting to know him in a personal way. It's about knowing him on the most intimate level, conversing with him, getting to know his heart, knowing him in depth. Hey guys, just one second, all right? Here we go. Someone asked me last week, and I kind of want to just touch on this. So they asked me the question, how do you pray to God? How do you come before God, and how do you actually pray to him? What is your approach to God, I should say? It was the question. And it was a great question because it's something that is so important to know. And I told him this. I said, look, I come to God. I approach God in so many different ways. Sometimes I'll pray to him as if he's the most massive God, the creator of all the universe. And I imagine him as so big as he is and how so small and really insignificant I am. There are times I come to him before that. Oh, God of the universe, great and mighty God. And then the Bible says that he's also your king. He also says that he's your father and your friend. And so I come to God, and when we pray to God and converse with him, and we get to know him in all these different ways. And so I come before him as the king, where I'm in reverence and awe before the king, and I'm saying, God, here I am, here am I to serve you. Oh God, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to live my life? There are times that I talk to him like a father. God, man, I really need your help right now. I really need your help right now. I need you to show me what to do right now. And there's some times that I pray to him as he's my best friend. God, what is it that you want to do right here? How do you want me to approach this person? How do you want me to do? What would you do in this situation? And those are the different ways that you come to God. He is the God of the universe. He's also the King. He's also your loving Father, and he's also your friend. And so you approach him in all of those different ways. And I'll tell you, your ability to know God will be enriched. And you will know him on a deeper and new way. It was almost 12 years ago now when I chose to follow hard after God. I was thinking about that this week. It's been almost 12 years now that I made that decision to follow hard after him, to pursue him with everything inside of me. And I can remember very clearly the life that I was living. And I was in the midst of a lifestyle that had taken me down a path so far from pleasing God that I never thought I could go back. I didn't think there was any way to get back. And it was an ugly life that I was living. And I hated myself. I hated the person that I became. I didn't think anybody would love me the way I'd become because I had turned into a horrible person in so many different ways. And yet all along, I felt God drawing me to himself. I heard about the love of God. I heard about that he sent his son to die for me. And so all along, as I'm going down this lifestyle, and it led me into this really dark, dark place, all along, God was drawing me to himself. And for the longest time, day by day, he was drawing me to himself with his love, and I resisted, 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 until my own selfishness and my own desire to live for myself took me to a place where I didn't think I would ever come out of. To the pit. Let's just put it that way, right? I was at the lowest of lows of lows. And I resisted for the longest time, but I was constantly being drawn to him. And you know what it was? It was his love that was so compelling. His love was so compelling. His mercy and his forgiveness was so captivating. It was so enthralling that his love was targeted at me, this mess of a person that I was. And God said, my love is for you, my son. And I'm here to tell you this morning, everyone here, that God's love is targeted at you. And his love is drawing you to himself day by day, each and every day. His loving kindness goes before you, and he reveals himself to you in his son, Jesus, and he is drawing you to himself. And then I came to that final drawing where I just could not resist anymore. I don't have the time to go into it. It's a great story. But I just found myself. I went into my room at my apartment. And I locked myself and I just fell on my knees before the Lord. I fell on my face and I repented. And I said, Lord, I'm asking you to forgive me my sins. And I picked up the Bible that my mom bought me when I was like 13 and I never opened it up. And I opened it up. And I just encountered God in that moment. I encountered God in that moment. I said, God, if you rescue my life right now, I will give you every ounce of me. I will not be half in and half out, but I will give you every ounce of me. Everything that comes my way, I will give to you and I will serve you with it. If you rescue me from this life that I am in. And from that moment on, it's been a relentless pursuit to know him deeper, to know him more intimately. Because each of those encounters, those were addicting encounters that keep you coming back for more. Where you encounter the presence of God and you talk with him and you converse with him. And I'll tell you right now, just like how difficult it was to pursue my cat when it ran out, it gets frustrating at times when you're in the pursuit of something. It's difficult. It takes work. It takes determination. It takes intentionality, and it requires sacrifice when you're in the pursuit of something. But let me tell you right now that it is the most satisfying and fulfilling pursuit you could ever, ever, ever go on. Because God is faithful, and he is trustworthy, and he loves you so much. So very much. And the beautiful power about all this is that God took the initiative. God took the initiative. And he gave up his son Jesus as a sacrifice that would deal with sin and death forever. And through Jesus, his love was made visible. It was made tangible. And it was made personal. The love of God was made personal. And God's love is targeted at you today. And so when we reciprocate this love relationship, it goes from asking the question, who is this God? To, God, who are you? You see, it goes from becoming being an outsider and wanting to know about God to becoming an insider, part of his family, a child, called his friend. And so now you have direct access to him and say, God, who are you? Show yourself to me. Show yourself to me. And I'm here to tell you that he's willing to reveal himself to you. And he lovingly wants to make himself known to you as much as he knows you. And I'm just going to close with this last passage found in Jeremiah chapter 29. It says this. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11 through 13. It says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you a future and a hope. And then you will call upon me and go and pray to me. And I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Amen? Amen. Well, we're going to celebrate right now three people who are making this commitment right now to pursue God. So I'm going to invite the people that are getting baptized to begin making their way up. Yeah, that's awesome. Give them a hand clap.